Drive Time Radio with New York Vinny.
You know, one of my dreams is to actually be sitting here one morning, one Saturday morning here on Drive Time Radio, and a welcome to you around the world, around the corner, and right out of our radio tower here in Seattle at 1150 AM KKNW. One of my dreams is that one day you will turn this on Facebook Live, and plug it in and turn on your radio, and we'll have the video set up, and you'll hear that our intro song, which is 10th Avenue Freeze Out by Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, one of my musical heroes. And in the background will be Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band playing the song live, or at least Max Weinberg. And, his band, or somebody from Springsteen, Nils Lofgren, you name it, Charlie Giordano, sitting back there playing on the Hammond B3, any of those would be great. And I we'd cue in, and there would be Bruce, and then Bruce would sit down, a la like David Letterman, and we would talk to Bruce for a half hour, about cars, and about some of the cars he's owned, and some of the adventures he has had in automobiles. I mean, he writes about them enough. He should have had some good times. I know the story about him, if you've read the book, about him learning how to drive when they virtually stuck him in the driver's seat on a trip to California and said, here, drive this thing, and it was a stick shift, and he had no idea what he was doing, but he got there. That's the sign of a pure genius. But I've also seen his, he bought with a, with his first recording money check. He bought with his first recording money, his first check that he got. One of the things that he bought with his first money was a 57 yellow Chevrolet convertible. And for several years, it was on display in the lobby of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm trying to think what was next to it. I think it was one of Whitney Houston's. But they had the 57 Chevy, and then they had, I believe it was one of Whitney Houston's cars. Or it might have been Madonna now, I can't, but it was some 80s icon. A car was on display behind it. But of course, me, you know, I'm looking, unless it was, Dion's first 57 Chevy that he bought when he got his first money. But, you know, I always thought that would be an interesting article, at least, or feature of, and I used to ask people this when I would interview athletes. I would always ask them when we did Mariner Magazine, what was your first car? Because it always elicits, or almost always, elicits fond memories from people of their first car. For a lot of the athletes, it was bought by them with their signing money, their bonus money. You know, one of the first things they do, whether you're in a big city or a small town, is you run down and you buy, I don't know if you buy your parents a house, but you certainly go buy them a new car so you can retire the old jalopy. Unless, of course, they have a new car or they're rich or something like that. But it seems to be one of the things that people do. And I always thought it would be an interesting show, interesting book or something, just to talk to rock and roll stars and famous people about their first cars. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it someday. Maybe it's a project. Maybe it's something that Nathan and I can work on together. Our erstwhile producer, Nathan, is with us. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Vinny.
How are you, pal?
Oh, man, I'm staying alive. Staying alive, and that's really something to be thankful for these days, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. As the Bee Gees once so wonderfully wrote, whether you're a mother or whether you're a lover, you're staying alive, right?
Mm-hmm, and might as well be playing that song today in 2020.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy out there. I mean, you don't know what to, well, you know what to do. The right thing to do is to stay home, right, over this holiday weekend. The right thing to do is, you see these warnings. I don't think these people, I mean, I know I look at Facebook, and it's my first mistake sometimes is looking at what people are saying on Facebook, and I know we're live on Facebook, but sometimes the opinions and stuff and the thought processes of some of the posts that you see make you sometimes question your entire being insanity and how people can, how do they make it to the bathroom? How do they drive their cars? Because it's not a plot. Wearing the mask and everything. They're trying to stop something from happening. They're trying to save lives. Or at least, that's how I see it. You may see it differently. And if that's how you see it, but they are asking you to sacrifice something. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving with your family, especially for those of us who don't live with our families, our families aren't really close here, except for my daughter. It's tough, I know. But, and it really brings you up to a decision of, okay, what's the right thing to do? Do I go or do I not go? And I think for me, I'm struggling with this decision right now. I want to go to my sister's for Thanksgiving. She lives in San Francisco. I have some business to do down there as well, and they've cut back on the gathering. It's just going to be three people, and I think if it's three people, it's probably okay to go, but yet, I don't know. You know, you got to get out of the car. You got to put gas in the car. Now, luckily in Oregon, you don't have to. You can just hand them your credit card. You know, they put the gas in the car, but when you get to California, you're going to have to. And this thing is raging. It's a wildfire. And we're in the middle of it. So, I don't know. It's tough decisions. I feel for everybody. Because one way or the other, nobody's a winner if your family can't get together on Thanksgiving. The government doesn't win. The Republicans don't win. The Democrats don't win. This guy, that guy, whatever, who's ever has an agenda really doesn't win. There's no winners here. It's just a sad thing that we are caught in the middle of, and we need to get out of it. And it affects us economy-wise in so many different ways. But most of all, there's, you know, all of these fellow human beings of ours who aren't here anymore. And that's sad in so many ways. Well, we have put together a good show for you, we think. We hope and we pray, because we don't want you to be bored this hour. We want you to be entertained, to feel like you're in part of something bigger than just you, that you're part of the Drive Time crew, the people who put the show together and participate in it and come on as guests to inform you, so on and so forth. So, our good friend Tracy Record is going to join us from the West Seattle blog. Tracy, if something happens in West Seattle, Tracy knows about it. Her West Seattle blog is the model for neighborhood blogs around the world. She has, we worked together at Channel 13 many years back, and she is somebody who is fastidious about her work and covers things, and even if you don't live in West Seattle, the blog is worth checking out. And we're going to talk to her about what the feeling from the West Side is on the proposal to repair the West Seattle Bridge. As we saw during the week, Mayor Durkin and everybody sat down and they said the best thing we can do here is fix this bridge for $400 million. And I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if people are going to feel safe on this bridge, are they? Are you going to feel safe if they repair this bridge, given our history of the way we repair things around here? I don't know. I've heard from a number of people saying, I don't know if I want to drive over it, but you're not going to really have a choice. And it's going to take, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years to do. So we'll talk to her about that. We have our cartoon of the week, our Saturday morning cartoon coming up for you. And from a legend, what a legend. And there's a little story behind the cartoon, and I'll tell it to you when we introduce you to it. But Arlo Guthrie will join us for our cartoon of the week, our Saturday morning cartoon. And we will do a deep dive on the Ford Expedition Max. Hoo boy, is this thing large. It's huge. It comes to play. Ford has stamped out a truck that comes to play. I don't know how at one end of the factory in Dearborn, they put some metal and some carbon fiber and some, coke and whatever else it is that they fix in there to stamp it out. And at the other end comes out this huge machine. No matter how many times I watch the videos about the factory, no matter how many factories I've been in, it's still amazing to me that this happens. One of the big stories of the week was General Motors, who talked about something that we mentioned many times on this show. Matter of fact, we mentioned it so much that I think we get to a point where we should do a separate show just about electric cars. But General Motors this week announcing that they are planning 30 new global EV launches, electric vehicles, through 2025. So that's, that's roughly 6 a year. They're going to spend more on electric vehicle development and battery development and alternative energy development than they do on gas and diesel investment. And the Ultium battery packs that now are very expensive and drive up the cost of these cars, they predict will go down by 60% and carry twice the energy. So if you can go 450 miles now, which is what they're saying with the Hummer and some of these other vehicles, that of course, lessens considerably if you're towing a boat or a trailer or something like that. I mean, it cuts it in half, really. But if this is true, what would you need an internal combustion engine for? And their Ultium-based EVs, as I said, are going to be increased a maximum range of 450 miles. But there's a lot of caveats there. You have to pay attention to this car. You have to, plug it in. You have to remember to charge it. There's participation when you drive an electric vehicle. It has to happen. But that was really the big news this week, I thought, in the automotive world, is besides the West Seattle Bridge, that General Motors has laid out their plans for electric vehicles and infrastructure and so on and so forth. It's coming. I think in 20 years, where you used to have the parking meters, you will have EV charging posts. And you will, when you park on the street, you'll plug your car in while you go up to visit your lawyer or your doctor or whatever. Your car will get charged up, and you'll have enough to get home. You'll pay a monthly fee that's on your credit card, and the gas station will become a thing of the past. Or at least it'll change radically. But that, to me, was the big story this week. Right, quickly, before we go to the break, Nathan, you have something to ask me?
Yo, Vinny, what are you driving this week?
Oh, Nathan, I thought you'd never ask. I really did. I thought you would never ask me. Nathan, I am driving a dream machine, Nathan. I am driving a vehicle that makes kids stay quiet, makes men open up their arms in love. It makes women look at the car and go, wow, I just wish I had one of those to drive to work. It is truly a thing of beauty. It is the 2021 Motor Trend Car of the Year, the Mercedes E-Series. I'm driving a Mercedes E350. What an incredible car. I really loved the Genesis I drove a couple of weeks ago. I said the only thing about the Genesis, it didn't have the Mercedes feel to it. Well, this is a smaller version of the Genesis, and it has the Mercedes feel to it because it is a Mercedes. The gadgets and the things that go on in this car, the way it reacts to the driver is something that's really unbelievable. We'll talk more about it, but that's what I'm road testing this week. That's what I'm driving. It's a beautiful white one. So if you see me, stop and say hello, wave at me, come on over and take a look at the car. You're welcome to enjoy the car as much as I am this week on the Drive Time Radio Road Test. All right, quick break here. We come back. Tracy Record joins us from the West Seattle blog as we try to sort out this whole West Seattle bridge thing here on Drive Time Radio.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
608 to 9010-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Make it a great day. Keep your dial on Alternative Talk 1150.
We're back with you here on Drive Time Radio. New York Vinny hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. We get a chance to welcome in again a friend of the show and somebody who I think runs the best local blog in the United States of America and maybe the world. I don't know. I haven't read the ones all over the world, but I do read the West Seattle blog. Tracy Record joins us from that blog, the founder, along with her husband. They do great work. Tracy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Vinny. Great.
Good to hear your voice, my friend. You okay? Yeah. Everything going good?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Good, good, good. Well, we finally have a decision on the bridge, don't we?
You bet. It's the suspense is over. 8 months. Monday is 8 months since it was suddenly closed. So it's been a while.
Wow! And how the world has changed since the bridge is closed, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Although the interesting thing is that the day the bridge closed was the actual day that Governor Inslee made his first dramatic announcement of a shutdown. So that day alone was already, you know, kind of a shockwave in a different way.
Right. It's almost like it was a secondary news until, all of that stuff kind of sunk in. And then people realized that they couldn't go over the bridge anymore. They had to shut it down. Now, I've gone over a bunch of times. I go over to West Seattle regularly. I have to say that if I tailor my hours to get there so that I'm not in rush hour, it hasn't been all that bad. How has it been in reality?
Well, that's the thing. You know, we run our business from home, and so we don't have to go off-island very much. And when we do, it's often to the south, which doesn't require crossing a bridge. But we've been across the First Avenue South Bridge a couple of times, and you're right. If you do go in an alternative hour, it isn't that horrible. But it's definitely something that, you know, you're playing with fire because you might encounter an opening for marine traffic. And in the morning or in the afternoon, absolutely forget it. If you go through some of the feeder routes, such as West Marginal Way or Southwest Holden through Highland Park, it's incredible backups like you would have never seen before unless there were, you know, lanes closed for a crash or something.
Have people moved to public transportation much, or is it have people just stayed in their cars and say, I'll endure, you know, whatever it is, just so I don't have to get out of my car?
that is, again, the complicating factor. If not for the pandemic, certainly the buses would be jammed. They'd be adding more buses, adding more water taxis. But people are not only loath to travel if they don't absolutely have to, if they do have access to a car, as you probably know, the capacity is also down. A bus that might have held, 80 people before is supposed to be at maximum capacity. Now it's, say, 16. So public transit just can't shoulder as much of the load.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, because I hardly ever take the bus, but yeah, it's you certainly get your own seat on the bus now, though. That's for and three or four others to go along with it. It's luxury cruising, I guess. So what is the decision is that they're going to keep the bridge, they're going to fix it. How is that going over in West Seattle?
The reaction is pleased among those who were lobbying for repair. There was certainly a sizable group of people who would have liked to have seen it replaced. There was a bit of a generational gap there, that people who were a bit younger didn't want to, face the prospect of dealing with this again in 15 to 20 years, while people who weren't as young were like, hey, we can't wait another minute. Overall, there's also the realists who, observe that even at this point, even with the repairs, the bridge will have still been closed probably about 2 years by the time it reopens. And then, of course, there's the immediate springing up of cynics saying, yeah, well, why 2 years? Why can't they just, fix it in a couple of months and open the darn thing already?
Yeah, just get a little duct tape, a little baling wire, and you'll be good to go until it falls down.
That's what, when you look at some of the pictures that STOT has released of the actual repair work, there are a few spots where it looks as if they've, there's little things that are jutting out of the bridge that held epoxy, and there's tape that have marked things, so you could almost imagine that, although lately they've gotten to talking about some other more impressive details, such as these giant steel cables that are now holding hundreds of tons of pressure to hold the thing together.
Well, it is kind of scary. Do you think there'll be any kind of, I'm not going to take, I'm not going to get on this bridge, I'll keep going, I'm afraid it's going to collapse or something like that? Is there any kind of, reaction like that that you're sensing?
When you think about it, our area here was also among the prime users of the Alaskan Way Viaduct, and ever since that was deemed seismically not necessarily sound and it started to settle a bit, a lot of people talked about how if you had to cross the viaduct, you just sort of held your breath until you got to the other side, until of course that was replaced a year plus ago with a tunnel. So I think it's going to be that way for people and bridges. The other thing though is that I don't know if it'll get to the point of absolute gridlock again, because the pandemic has really changed the world to the point where some companies are saying that people might work from home forever. So I think that it might be a little bit lighter depending on how things go.
Tracy Record from the West Seattle blog is with us here on Drive Time Radio. We're talking about the West Seattle Bridge. And, I talk about this with you also in terms of it's such a spot of commerce, not necessarily the West Seattle Bridge going into West Seattle, but that whole area by the port there where it's, there's the trucks there and all that different commerce, the marine and everything that's going on down there, the container port. And how, in your mind, is it going to affect that portion down there? I heard something, and I was unclear on this, that Sound Transit also is building their own separate bridge down there.
Yes, that's been planned for a couple of years now, ever since the area passed the Sound Transit 3 measure. The plan for a West Seattle extension involved that they would build their own bridge parallel to this one. They haven't decided exactly whether it would be north of or south of. So with that in the plan, there was a lot of talk about, well, if we built a new bridge to replace this one, couldn't we just get light rail on it? There was also an alternative plan referred to as an immersed tube tunnel that could have theoretically carried Sound Transit cars, rail cars as well. So that's happening. And you also mentioned what it's not happening in terms of combining now. The mayor has made some remarks that well, since they've got a plan for replacing this bridge eventually, maybe somehow they could look at a combination bridge, although I'm just not sure how they're going to work that in the timeline, because currently Sound Transit is supposed to be serving West Seattle in 2030, and that would be only 10 years from now, and the repairs of the bridge are supposed to last at least 15 years.
Wow. That's where you start to look and say, isn't there any way to combine all of this and make it, you know, do it all at once and make it easier on people? But I guess with competing agencies and everything like that, it's tough to get people to sit down at the same table and agree on anything.
What they're more likely to do, which also is the sort of thing that the mayor was hinting at in her announcement earlier this week, is perhaps look at building the Sound Transit Bridge as something of a multimodal bridge, make it also serve buses and maybe theoretically even bicycles, scooters, whatever, because as people rightly point out, and as you were even talking about just before this with your mention of the electric cars, this bridge may last another 15 years or longer. We don't know what transportation is really going to look like at that time. There might not be quite as much need to get cars across the river.
Yeah, and the electric cars are coming. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that car companies are gearing up for it. And, the autonomous car is going to come as well, but I don't think it's going to be as quickly as the electric cars. As a matter of fact, it's interesting that they've kind of taken the autonomous car and not put it on the back burner, but kind of lessened the percentage and is now rushed to go electric. We're seeing all these companies that were touting diesel and gasoline just 2 or 3 years ago really chatting up and saying to everybody, here's electric is the way to go. This is what it's going to be. Put a charging station in front of your house, because if you're going to, own a car, this is how it's going to be. And so that's going to be an interesting twist on this whole thing. I don't know if it'll get people out of their cars or put people in cars more, because there won't be the pollution factor anymore as it exists today.
No kidding. Absolutely. Then it's already happening. Certainly we have people in our neighborhood where you see the cord snaking out front to the car, and we ourselves are trying to hold out for another, 5 or so years to see if electrical car technology, works out a little bit better before buying our next car. So,
well,
I
think, Tracy, what's going to happen is it's going to, and I talked to an engineer from Ford about this on a show maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. We were talking about the new Ford Mustang electric car, and they're trying to get it to where it would work like your cell phone, where you would have some kind of pad or something that you would park on, and it would charge the car up without having to plug it in, and also use a partial solar energy. Now, I don't know how that would work out here, but in some shape, manner, or form, that's what you might see on these cars. They're work. It's like a huge thing to try to figure out to get to first the simplest charging system for these cars. I'm happy that when you go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's that you can plug your car in right now. That to me is a beautiful thing. Or PCC even, I think, now has a charger.
Here in West Seattle, they, in fact, even just the city just installed a charger over by the bowling alley. There's now a two charger setup over there, so they're slowly phasing things in.
Yeah, they're definitely, and this is there's no secret, I think, to people. It's the Seattle, and West Seattle in particular really is a prime market. Not just that they're looking at to sell cars, but to experiment on what works best, because it's a small, concentrated neighborhood that mirrors many other neighborhoods around the country. So they're trying to, they're looking at. But you have an education level and an early adopters level in West Seattle and in Seattle itself, but particularly I think in West Seattle, where people are open to these ideas. And. And I think the car companies are looking at that as a place to be able to say, okay, let's try this, let's try that, and see how it rolls out. Tracy, a final question for you. What has this done for the rents in West Seattle? I've been interested in, obviously the whole thing that's been going on with the pandemic and the riots and everything like that, but has West Seattle seen the same thing that we've seen in the rest of the city, where rents have gone down?
Though we don't have exact statistics, because rental companies tend to keep it close to the vest, there's certainly a lot of anecdotal evidence that, rents have gone down and vacancies have gone up, because among everybody who's had to deal with this, renters are the ones who say, look, I'm out of here. I don't have a couple of years to deal with it, whereas people who, you know, own a house have a little bit more at stake in writing the whole thing out. So there's certainly been a lot more aggressive promotion of, you know, free month deals and things like that.
Yeah, I would imagine. I thought that would happen when this all down. Well, Tracy, it's good to hear your voice. I love reading the blog, and as soon as I get back to West Seattle and I'm actually living there again, as opposed to living up here in Edmonds, I got to tell you, the Edmonds blog is not as good as the West Seattle blog. I'm just giving you the props. It's a fact that you and Patrick do such a great job of that blog. I've been a fan of it since you started it and continue to be. So if you want to know what's going on in West Seattle, keep an eye on the West Seattle blog, and it's exactly how you find it, westseattleblog.com. Tracy, thanks so much for coming on the show again. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Vinny.
All right, good to talk to you. Tracy Reckert from the West Seattle blog. Quick break here. We come back, and it's our Saturday morning cartoon right here on Drive Time Radio.
What does it take to be a Buick? It takes a car as wild and wonderful as the new Buick Wildcat for 64. When you go the way of the Wildcat, people take notice. They want to know more about your car. They'll want to drive it themselves. But beware, once they get behind the wheel, it's hard to get them out. '64 Wildcat, it's the wildest, and above all, it's a Buick.
Organic, free range, and fresh daily. Alternative Talk, 1150.
I screwed that up pretty quick, didn't I? Oh, yes, it's Drive Time Radio. It's New York Vinny here on a Saturday morning as we climb our way through what looks to be a rather nice day out there. Crisp, but looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of people heading out to go skiing. I know Baker is open, and the snow in a lot of the other places. I'm not a skier, so I don't know if it's enough snow. And I've been kind of tossing around the idea of making Nathan do some work on Saturday morning, more than he does already, and having him get in contact with a couple of these ski resorts to find out what's going on every Saturday morning and doing a ski report, you know, a snowmobile report or something like that. I just always think that's, you know, people here in the Northwest want to know about that kind of stuff and what's going on, but it looks like even if you're just going to drive up and look at the snow, not such a bad time to do it. All right, time now for the Saturday morning cartoon every week, because cars and music go together so well. We pick out a tune that is written or sung or based on cars or driving or taking a road trip or anything associated with driving. I know we've had a number of good requests and kind of obscure songs as well, you know, which I like. There's I know we got one coming up in the not too distant future from Phil Oakes, who is one of my favorite, albeit depressing, songwriters and artists, and a few other kind of cool ones that we have uncovered. But this one takes off on kind of a Thanksgiving tradition. When I did music, and even a few times when I was doing sports, every Thanksgiving, I used to play the entire, 18-minute version of Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. It's always been one of my favorite songs. It has so much to do with Thanksgiving. It's a tradition that started back in New York on, I believe, WNEW-FM, which was the progressive rock station back in the 60s and 70s in New York. They used to play this every Thanksgiving, and I, you know, tried to carry on a lot of the great traditions of shows that I grew up listening to, or that I, you know, came into my radio maturity listening to. So, you know, I tried to play Alice's Restaurant, but on a sports station sometimes. Although if you're working Thanksgiving morning on a sports station, I mean, let's face it, and you know, what who's up at, you know, unless you're running back and forth to church or something like that. So I figured it was a safe bet to play it. We did it a few times. I didn't want to go the 19 minutes here because it would eat up too much of the show. But oddly, at Alice's Restaurant, the Alice's Restaurant Massacre, is a great song, and you should go to YouTube and you should check it out. But Arlo was considerate enough on his album Alice's Restaurant to include a song not about cars, but about motorcycles. And it's a song that has always stuck with me. I've hummed this song and sang this song to myself many years, and especially when I'm driving a motorcycle. So here is, on our Saturday morning cartoon, Arlo Guthrie, the creator and singer of Alice's Restaurant, son of Woody, singing his motorcycle song. That is Arlo Guthrie from the album Alice's Restaurant and the motorcycle song. Great song, as I said, that's our cartoon of the week, short, sweet, and, you know, kind of song you can sing to your kids. So we'll take a quick break here, come back, and we will have our review for you as well, our Drive Time Road Test of the week, which this week is the max, baby. We're going max. We're going big. We're going as big as you can go. It's the Ford Expedition Platinum Max when we come back on Drive Time Radio.
This overheated radiator shouldn't have happened. Or this street windshield in the rain. Or this dead battery here. Shouldn't somebody check those things for you every time?
Your Texaco dealer does. That's his promise. Your Texaco dealer not only promises to check the things everyone ought to, he'll double-check, too. He'll check your battery. Double-check the battery cables. Check your oil. Double-check the fan belt. Check your radiator. Double-check the radiator cap. Clean your windshield. And double-check the wiper blades. What's more, your Texaco dealer's service and courtesy includes a smile and a thank you. That's his promise.
You can trust your car to the man who wears the star, the big, bright Texaco star.
On the path to good health and well-being, Alternative Talk 1150 is the station for you.
All right, we're back with you here on Drive Time Radio in New York. Vinny hanging out with you on a Saturday morning. We thank you so much for your participation in the show. And, you know, we always are interested in hearing from you, hearing your ideas, hearing about, and we do have some changes planned for the new year, along with some things that are going to come to the show, some different features that we are going to try out. But if there's something that you would like to hear, a question that you have for us, you'd like to advertise on the show, we really could. We really are going to push for people to advertise on the show. I know that Menashe Jewelers has advertised with us in the past, and we always thank them for their participation in the show. You know, we want to get the, I think, a good service for the motoring public here in the Puget Sound area. We're going to ask businesses to participate in that. So if you want to, if you're interested in advertising, also another thing that we are going to start to do is if you are interested in buying a car and don't want to go through the hassle of buying the car, we can do that for you. We have a complete service that will... from soup to nuts, and I've done this now for a couple of hundred people, over the last few years, assist you in buying a car, get you in the right car for you. You know, I test drive over 100 cars a year. Most years, this has been a year where we're a little light because of the pandemic. We've only done about 60 or so because we haven't traveled to some of the automaker programs that usually happen where we drive a few different models and haven't had our Mudfest and our association programs where we get to drive, you know, multiple cars in one sitting. But if you are in the market for a car, if you're thinking, hey, my old jalopy is on its last legs, or if you need some consulting done in that area, you just can't make a decision, and you want to find out what the right car is for you, we would be happy to assist you in doing that as well. Or if you're disposing of a car and you need to, you know, to sell it, we can advise you on how to sell it, the best thing to dispose of it, where you'll get your fair market value for the car. You can always reach me at Vinny@drivetime-radio.com. That's Vinny@drivetime-radio.com. We'd be more than happy to, you know, to help you out and you know, get you on the right track for that kind of stuff. It's important stuff. You know, your car is such a big investment. And one of the other things that we're going to do, too, is we're going to have a little bit more of the mechanical stuff that we, you know, I want to try to work in it a little bit that we answer your mechanical questions. So we're working on a thing right now where we'll actually have a mechanic once or who knows, maybe even twice a month. And you'll be able to call in and ask questions. It's a little tribute to the Tappet brothers, Click and Clack, and Car Talk. But we want to, you know, we want to be able to give you a resource or a place here to do that. And we're also expanding our website, our drivetime-radio.com website, so that we can service you better as far as information that you need, car reviews and so on and so forth during the week. So we will, you know, all of that stuff is going to be coming up here in the next, you know, in the not too distant future. So be watching for that as we try to make ourselves better for you, our listeners. And we thank you for listening and thank you for spending time with us on a Saturday morning, or if you listen to us during the week when we do the Mikey and Vinny show on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Facebook Live, and hopefully to a radio station near you very soon. Sorry, I'm I get a little, you know, dry here. Another thing that I wanted to quickly talk about before we do the Drive Time Radio Road Test is we got a chance this week to spend a little time with the folks from Maserati, and they presented us their 2021 models, and I really, it was nice to see these new cars as up close as you could see them. But their three cars were spectacular. They've come out with a performance line. I mean, they have the Ghibli, the Quattroporto, and their SUV. All of their cars are stunning. And just have that sexy Italian look to them that you don't see in other cars, except maybe the Alfa Romeos. And they also introduced us to their MC20, which is their supercar. You know, carbon fiber here, carbon fiber there, V6. But a 600 horsepower monster, with butterfly doors, and as I say, carbon fiber all over the place. Just a spectacular car. And it marks Maserati coming back into the supercar business, where they've been absent for some time. And very impressive showing of these vehicles, and especially interesting is their Trofeo line, which is their performance line. The way the cars are constructed, the way the cars perform, and again, I'm looking forward to driving one when it comes along, but they just look and feel like not much else out there. And so congratulations to them for doing that, a spectacular ride. All right, now time for our drive time road test of
the drive.
Go ahead, Nathan.
Drive Time Radio Road Test. Every week, Vinny puts another car through its paces and lets you know the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, there's Nathan. Nathan, sometimes a little anxious, but sometimes my rhythms are a little... I go from staccato to smooth. Well, I never really get to smooth, but I get the staccato to wherever I'm going. But Nathan follows along good. You okay, Nathan?
I am well.
Okay. I don't know, Nathan. I get 4 fan mail for you than I do for me. I think I ought to let you do the show, and I'll become the producer.
I think I drank my morning coffee a little bit too fast this morning.
Yeah, what the heck is going on there, Nathan? My friend, you do a great job. You really do. You make the show, and one of the things that I'm thankful for in this show is that I have you to help me along on Saturday mornings as a producer, and as I like to call it, a jack of all trades. I couldn't ask for somebody better. You're the guts of this show, my friend, and don't ever forget that, because I don't. All right, the road test this week. See, here's what I did. Here's what happened here. I was gonna do I was gonna get real cute and do a rap version of the review. I like to step out of the box every once in a while and do something. And I don't know, I just didn't finish it right. So I'll work on it. We'll do it. We'll get it done for you. But I wanted to let you know about this vehicle, the 2024 Expedition Max, Platinum Max. What a vehicle this is. I mean, when you talk about these huge vehicles, which, yes, Virginia, there still is a market for. Ford has really done this bumper to bumper in a spectacular way, where the car does, or the truck, I should say, does exactly what it's designed to do, and you can't imagine anybody doing it much better than they've done it. From the outside, its lines, its exterior lines, the way it sits high enough that you have to climb up a little to get into it, but yet it delivers a running board that comes out from the bottom of the car when you approach the car, and so that you have a step to get up into the car with. The lines, it doesn't look just big and square. The Ford Designers has given it some personality, some look. They've taken a huge box and they've managed to sculpt it out and carve it out, so it doesn't look just like a huge box. It has a little bit of a different look to it. As you get inside, the interior is nothing short of spectacular. Again, the Platinum Max is the top-of-the-line SUV. I mean, we're talking over $80,000 for this thing, but it's 17 feet long. Actually, this one, the Max, is 18 feet long, or 18 and a half feet long. It's a huge, huge vehicle. But when you get in, when you get inside, you realize how huge it is, because the front seats not only move back and forth and adjust to any body size, but the rear seats do as well. There's plenty of room to move around back there. It's bigger than most minivans. That's certainly true. And the seats are comfortable. The interior is upscale materials. I wish there would have been these materials in the Cadillac that I reviewed last week, because Ford really said we're going to put some solid, good stuff in this car. The dashboard is a soft touch. Everything is feels like you're in a car that costs that much money. And it's well thought out. The only problem I have with this car, and it's something that I think it's just me and Sync don't get along, the Sync system. Again, for 5,700 pounds of vehicle, this thing moved along quickly. The turbos that they have in here really moved this EcoBoost V6 right along. It was almost hard to believe that it was a V6 if you're used to having the V8 performance. Let me tell you something, you don't need the V8. You can get along with this 3.5 liter turbocharged V6. Gives you 400 horsepower in the platinum trim. And you get decent gas mileage, 17 in the city, 23 on the highway. The ride handling of the vehicle is good. It's not a manly, gotta drive a pickup truck. It's a soft handling vehicle, and it handles like you would expect a fine upscale SUV to handle. So the Ford Expedition sticker price is a little north of $80,000 for the Platinum Max. Is certainly a vehicle that you need to go and look at. A well thought out, well crafted, large vehicle from Ford. I say if you're out there and you're thinking about this kind of car, go look at it. That is this week's Drive Time. Have a safe and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We appreciate it. We'll see you next week if the Lord's willing, the creek don't rise.